prepare to worship, because the part of the message today is this: being able to worship under any circumstance. In fact, I had a video. I didn't cue it up. It's of this poor guy. It reminds me of something that might happen to me. The guy comes out of his house. He slides on the ice, and he goes flying, and both his shoes fly off, and he goes down the driveway. You know, that's a bad... I hope that didn't happen to any of you today, anything like that. But being able to worship despite... And we're going to talk about that today. The Apostle Paul is going to give us a great illustration of being able to worship God even during trying and difficult circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. But just, we've come into this house to worship and to praise God, not only because that God is glorified, and not only because we can be grown spiritually through our worship and our connection with God, but it shifts the culture. And we're going to talk about an earthquake today, and I believe that God is ready to shake our culture. And it's that type of thing. I believe our culture, in the spiritual sense, is growing darker and darker, and I believe it's going to reach a tipping point, and that's not a bad thing, because that's when God begins to move. God begins to move when things become more difficult. Because the question is, what do we need God to do if the things aren't difficult, if there is an adversity? And that's when God shows up and his people praise and his people pray. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we're doing. You are glorifying God, you are growing your spiritual life, and you are shifting in the spiritual realm things for the kingdom of God. Trust me. This message today will bring that beautiful point forward. Please stand. God, thank you, Father. You're an amazing God. You have amazing love. I thank you for your amazing people. And God, we thank you for the amazing grace that you give us, Father, through the blood and the redemptive power of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, God, we worship you. This is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen? Amen. Sing with it.
Worthy is the Lamb. Promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom, straight into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom, straight into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love.
Jesus, we just rejoice this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, that you took us by the hand. Death is swallowed up forever. Give him a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. I know I don't, well, maybe I am on. You know, this is actually so powerful. The worship, thank you for being part of the worship today. This next song, Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble? Again, Angie had no idea what I was even preaching on today. But as I said at the start of the message, or at the service, and I'll say it during the message, God is ready to shake the mountains. Amen. He's going to shake them. But it happens when his people praise and give him glory and honor. He is going to do a great shaking in this nation. He's going to shake off the dross. And he's going to bring forth the pure gold of the sons and daughters of the Most High God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing with us. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Say it again. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Amen. Come on, sing with us.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus. The saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming.
I think the worship is making the mountains tremble.
Amen.
Amen. Not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. Amen. The next song, There is a Cloud. I just want to remind you, it's the time that Elijah had been on Mount Carmel. He called down fire, and I want to just remind the church, he didn't call fire down on the sinners or the people. He called fire down on the sacrifice. And are we prepared to be a sacrifice ready to be burned at the altar of worship and praise today? And then when things got difficult, he said, I can hear the sound of abundant rain, but there's no cloud in the sky. And he sent the servant, go back and look over the Mediterranean. Go back again. Nothing. No, go back. Nothing. Go back. Seven times until finally he says, I see a small cloud like a man's hand. I want to tell you, that's the hand of God ready to move upon the nation. And as he did in Israel, he will do in the United States of America. God, thank you, Father. I see a cloud. I see a cloud. And I hear the sun of the sound of abundant rain. Amen, church? Come on, sing with us. There is a cloud.
Thunder with a new future to tell, for the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We await promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done. a flood. We receive your love when you come like a flood, like a flood. We receive your love when you come like a flood, like a flood.
Opportunity. It's not something we have to do. It's an offering to you that we come into this house and we lift up our voices to praise you. We raise our hands to praise you. How many of you know where that we're commanded to lift up holy hands unto the Lord? We're commanded. It says that in the Word of God, lifting up holy hands unto the Lord. God, I thank you that it was the voices of the Hebrews when they surrounded Jericho and they marched around for six times. And then you told them to shout. But in the meantime, you told them to be quiet and don't say a word. There's a lot of ideas about that, but I think it's been said before that maybe God just wanted them to quit complaining, right? So they didn't complain for a while. But then when God gave them the word to shout and to worship Him and to call out and cry out unto God in unity, the walls of Jericho came down and all the demons that lived inside the wall went down with it. Come on. There were idols in that wall. There were things going on within that wall. But when God's people unite together with one voice, in John chapter 17, when they become as one, you know, the glory that was put on Jesus is put on His people. But it comes when we stand as one. How many of you know that it was Michael's voice of complaining against David's worship, right? And she became barren, right? Because of what was coming out of her mouth, and that she judged David for his extravagant worship. She had no children from that point on. God, I thank you that you have given us arms and legs and bodies to worship. That you have given us a mouth to shout. Shout unto God, the voice of triumph, right? You know, when you've come to the end of yourself, all you have left is your worship. All you have left. How many of you know that they would always send out the tribe of Judah first? And they would sing and they would praise and they would wave banners in the air because they were proclaiming who the God of victory is. Come on. Jesus of Nazareth, the victorious one we talked about on Wednesday night. you would fill each one of us, God, with extravagant worship. God, I pray that you would deal with our religiosity. That you would deal, God, with our offenses. How many of you know? Hey, does anybody know we're divided today? Does anybody know? Right? You know why? Because we're offended. We're all offended about something. We need to surrender our offenses. We need to become unoffendable. And we need to worship the Lord in spite of what's coming at you, in spite of what's being said. And we need to worship God. Because when you're walking a holy life, He's going to fight for you. He's going to fight for you. But how many of you know it says that you're supposed to agree with the adversary quickly? You know why He says that? Because if He's accusing you and you're guilty, right? And it's simply because we need to repent. Agree with Him if He's right and repent. Because that's why Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, to get all that stuff out of the way so that we could be holy. It's imputed to us by being a child of God, by agreeing with what the Word of God says and surrendering every sin and giving every sin over to Him, that we can be a holy people. Come on. And when God's people are holy and when they're as one, how many of you know there is no battle that can't be won? There is no trial that can't be saved. There is no marriage that can't be saved. There is no disease that can't be healed. There is no one that can't be delivered. Come on. Somebody should be getting excited in this house today about what Jesus has done. We need to learn to be a people that worships God with everything that we have. Come on. God is a good God. He loves this nation. He loves His people. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for the shaking. Thank you, God, for starting in the church, because judgment begins in the church. Thank you, God, for shaking up the denominations. Thank you, God, for drawing a sharp line in the sand that we have a choice to make, whether we're going to agree with what the Word of God says or not. And yes, it will cost you something. It's going to cost every one of us something in this hour and in this season. We need to reprioritize our lives to what's important. We have lived our whole entire lives for the American dream. We need to reprioritize our lives and put God first. If we're too busy, we need to prioritize our lives. Holiness is required in this season. We have lived our whole entire lives. That the history of the Bible has been written for these days that are about to come. They are the most exciting days of our life. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Come on. Man, the power of the Holy Ghost that's been given to the church. Dear God, I pray, Lord, for a mighty rushing wind to come in this house, God, and fill every soul, every heart, every body, God, that is standing in this place this morning. God, I pray that you would stir up hunger. Right now, if you are not hungry for God, tell Him you're not hungry. Tell Him you're not hungry. At least tell Him something. And then ask God, Lord, light my heart on fire for you. I want to be filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come into this place, God. I pray that you knock down every wall in every heart, God, that separates us from you. All of our attitudes, all of the things that we put out there before you, God. We lay down our idols this morning, God. Lord, we desire to be filled. We desire, God, to walk holy lives, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for understanding. God, that when we read the scriptures, God, that you reveal your heart. Jesus, reveal the Father to us. God, we want more of you. No more hiding in the closet. No more keeping our mouths shut. Come on. You know, it was Moses' voice that spoke to Pharaoh. And then all kinds of stuff broke loose on Egypt. And God brought judgment on Egypt because Moses obeyed the Lord. And he went to Pharaoh and he spoke the words. Even though he was afraid. It says he was afraid. But he spoke them anyway. He said, I will be your voice. The word says, open your mouth and I will fill it. for being complacent. Forgive us for being full of apathy, God. Forgive us, God, where we've tried to do it in our own strength. Like when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus. That wasn't how God wanted to do it. At least not that time. God, tune our ears in, Lord, to how you want to do it. God, I pray that you would touch my sister, God, Marie, who's in hospice care in Lock Haven. God, we just ask your hand upon Marie today, God. Just bring her comfort, God. Just touch her body. Strengthen her, God. Give her hope. God, give her a great expectation to meet her Creator. We know where Marie's going. I asked her the question. She said she's accepted Jesus into her heart. Jesus is her Lord and Savior. When you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You repent of your sins. Yeah, it's that easy. God, we pray for Missy, Patty's sister. We ask, God, that you would touch her, touch her heart, God, touch her body, Lord. God, we just leave the days of these two ladies in your hands, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for their families. We ask that you would strengthen them as well. Prepare their hearts. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are intervening in this nation. God, you're not asleep. We are. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you, God, for making us make a choice. God, I pray for your word as it goes forth this morning, Lord. That, God, I pray we don't walk out of here the same way we came in. We walk out changed. We walk out hopeful. We walk out with more faith than what we came in with. We walk out ready to face whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just love you. Just tell him you love him this morning. God, I pray that for those that are standing in here this morning that feel weird telling you that they love you, God, I just pray, Lord, for that father's heart to just come right down right now and just descend upon them, that your loving arms by the power of the Holy Spirit would just envelop their hearts and minds. God, I command the orphan spirit to leave this house in Jesus' name. And I just prophesy, I declare and decree sons and daughters in this house. Sons and daughters in this house of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Encourage someone this morning. Give them a hug. Give them a word from the Lord if you got one. It's a great time to be alive. Amen. Amen. Can you just say that? It's a great time to be alive. Amen. Amen. Acts 16:16-32. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." Yes. And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion. Come on."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
"Being Jews and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God." Come on.
Man.
"And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice," come on, there it is,
yep,
"saying, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' Mm-hmm. And he called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' Yes. Amen. They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house."
Amen. This is going to be a great day.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm bringing the word. It's because of the word itself. And I can see, I've never heard so many amens during a scripture reading in my life. Praise Jesus. You've come to receive. This word is alive. This word is active.
Right.
This word is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. What he's doing, he's carving away the soul, our flesh, our mind, our will and emotions, and he's strengthening the spirit man, the spirit woman. It's the word of God. This historical fact, if this was written by Luke, the same man who wrote the book of Luke, wrote the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, he was named. God's ready to do something great. God's ready to shake this place. He's ready to shake this country. He's ready to shake our culture.
Amen.
When God shakes the foundations, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I trust that that shaking will start with us. That where we are spiritually, when we come into this place, will not be where we are when we leave this place. Because he'll shake our foundations, including the man bringing the word today. Amen. That I believe is just going to shake us. And sometimes it's shaking to wake us up. Sometimes it's shaking to redirect us. Sometimes it's shaking to give us a revelation. God, I've never heard you say that before. And now you said something to me today. And it's going to change my life. Praise Jesus. Faith, fear, and the future. God's epic words of mankind's perilous age. In this series, we've talked about what the future of this planet looks like. More importantly, the future of mankind, what it looks like. The scripture already tells us what it looks like. As much as the prophetic words have always come to pass previously, they will continue to come to pass regarding mankind and our places in eternity. It's going to come to pass. And I say it again, I believe these are the last days. They are perilous days. And I started out in the first or second message, not perilous meaning we should be afraid. Perilous, we should be prepared. Perilous understanding the uncertainty in our culture. We have an answer for them. And the answer is not some temporary philosophy, not some temporary passing idea or fad. It's the eternal word of God. It's the eternal God of the heavens, his son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform the church. That is our hope. The hope of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. When God shakes the foundations. If you were to study this passage, you would see that Paul and Silas had been ministering together. They brought along their young protege. His name is Timothy. And Luke, the author of this book and the author of this story. And they had come to the end of their rope in the Asia Minor. And Paul tried to do this, and he tried to go this way to do ministry. And God kept shutting the door, kept shutting the door, kept shutting the door. I want to encourage you, church. I don't know what kind of door you're at in your life and in your spiritual walk. But if you're at a closed door and you're still pressing in, God is going to open one for you in his time. Paul wanted to go north. Paul wanted to go west. He wanted to go east. Jesus says, no, closing that door and closing that door and closing that door. And finally, he gets to the seashore, and he has that Macedonian vision. At night, he gets a vision, a man from Macedonia, which is in Greece, across the Mediterranean there, or the Aegean Sea. And he's crying out. He's saying, come over here. He gets up. He tells his partners, I had this vision. The Macedonians are calling. The Greeks, the Romans and the Greeks are calling from over there on the other side of the Aegean. And so they went. They'd been in a holding pattern. Sometimes our life, we're in that holding pattern thinking, God, I've been praying, I've been seeking, I've been looking for an answer. And the question I will ask all of us is this, are you being disobedient? And if your answer is no, and are you doing what God has asked you to do? If the answer is yes, then you're simply in a holding pattern. God is simply waiting for the right time and the right place. It wasn't the right time for Paul to travel east. It wasn't the right time for him to continue on north. He was needed over there in Macedonia, named from Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great in Greece. He went over there. They came to this city called Philippi. They ran into that woman you named, the seller of purple from Thyatira. Her name is Lydia. She was a businesswoman. She was clearly a leader in her realm and in her field. And she was there in Philippi looking to buy and sell purple garments. It was a prized possession in those days. Paul and Silas and the ministry team would go to what's called the city gate. There was no synagogue in Philippi at this time, and there was certainly no church. And so he goes to the city gate, believing that these people who had converted to Judaism would be there to pray. And so it was, and Lydia came up, and Paul explained to her the message of salvation, what you've learned about the Old Testament is now being revealed in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. And she received Jesus Christ, her and her entire household, and they began to host this ministry team of Paul and Silas in her home there in Philippi. And that's where we pick up the story. There's some key phrases as we go into this passage again at verse 16. I don't want us to miss as we study this. Because what's taking place now, God has planted the spiritual roots now in Europe for the first time. They've gone from Asia Minor into Europe. Almost certainly, you're here today as a believer. You are a benefactor of what took place in this passage from our European heritage, for most of us. That's how, more than likely, the Word of God has traveled through your family, through the ages, through pastors, through evangelists. They've come from this obedient call that Paul and Silas had followed along with Luke and Timothy. It says there, so again, keep in mind, he was already having success. And I don't just mean Paul, I mean Jesus Christ was having success. People were being saved in Europe all of a sudden, and the enemy begins to stir things up. Because he sees I want to tell you folks, you're in a spiritual battle today in 2023, and the enemy is stirring things up so much so that it's almost like we cannot even outdo the next newscast is worse than the day before. It's like, what are they going to do next? If you'll forgive the expression, it's almost like they're saying, hold my beer, watch this. Have you heard that? I think it's funny. Please don't take that out of context. Like, they're going to do something even more stupid, right? That's where that phrase comes from. And it's like, are you kidding me? In 7 years, all of our military vehicles are supposed to be battery powered. Now, I can see a problem with that, but I don't want to stop there. I'm not here to talk about that. Hold my beer. Verse 16 of the passage, they had just, again, Lydia and her whole household just began, were converted and probably were beginning to start a church, and she'd be the leading lady of that church in verse 16. And it happened as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination, where there is Python. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Python. She had a spirit of Python, and she met us. Don't miss these small words in the scripture. She met us. Mm-hmm. They're doing ministry. They're having success. The word of God is beginning to spread. And it wasn't some army that came against them in the natural. It was this young slave girl. And she met us. She encountered them. She came to them. We'll find out more why in just a moment. But what I want to just encourage you, when you're stepping out for the things of God in the spiritual realm, you're going to receive opposition and backlash when you're taking new ground. Many of you are involved in things taking place in our culture right now. Many of you are running for positions that are going to impact the next generation. Many of you are involved in campaigns and in different strategies to begin to transform this nation really back to its roots of conservative, fundamental, God-based, even though some would say it wasn't based on Christianity. I will say this, it was based on Christian values. Yeah. Call it what you want. The fight is on, but the opposition steps up. You're taking new ground. And don't miss this. It says the slave girl that was possessed by a spirit of Python. Don't miss the dual meaning there. She was enslaved by an owner and she was enslaved by the spirit. Python. It's a dual. She was bound. She was bound because she was bound by this spirit of fortune telling that then she became bound to another person who basically would, excuse the expression, prostitute her in the spiritual realm. And she was able to tell fortunes. And I want to just say this, as came to me while I was preparing, as we go forward with this message, if you've ever encountered, if you've ever had your palm read, if you've ever been to a tarot card reader, if you've ever participated in Ouija board, anything like that, I want to just encourage you today, you can do it now when this message is over. Come to these altars and simply repent. Because we've dabbled in darkness when we've done any of those things. And Satan has gained a foothold in your life, whether we recognize it or not. We need to break those bonds in Jesus' name. Amen? And this was what was taking place. This slave girl. And so she was possessed by the spirit of Python. And she was just possessed by the owner. She was bound to both. And don't miss it. They were making a lot of money. It says she was bringing her masters much profit from fortune telling. I thought this was interesting because what I see here today is what's taking place in America today. It's profit. She's making money for her owners and she's gaining souls for Satan. Mm-hmm. She's on a dual mission and she doesn't even recognize it because she's bound. She's bound to her owner. She's bound to the spirit and she's taking people to hell and she's making her owners a lot of money. And the money, it all comes down to money. Because money converts to power and power converts to money. And this is what we're seeing today in our culture. Those who choose to put heroin in their bloodstream immediately become an addict. They're bound by the spirit. They're bound by the spirit of pharmakia. They don't know it, but they're bound. You say it's a physical need. It is a physical need, but it's also a spiritual. They've opened themselves up. They've become an addict. And now they are bound by the spirit, and now they're beholden to the dealer to get their next drug. It's to say it's a great parallel to what we're seeing here. And I have found my experience, some in this place would agree with this, that there are these dealers that deal with heroin. They're smarter than the people that take the heroin, because guess what? The dealers do not use heroin.
That's right.
They'll smoke marijuana. They'll do whatever they do, but they will not bind themselves to what they know is going to ultimately bind these people and ultimately take their lives. Mm-hmm. But they bound because this person, whoever it is, they've come into agreement somewhere along the line. This woman or her ancestors has come into agreement with the spirit of Python. And I say that to say this, that it comes about money. There's always a money connection. And you look at it sometime when you're have time, look to see which of our Hollywood starlets and actresses and musicians have bound themselves, they have sold their souls to Satan. They've made an agreement. How do you do that, Pastor? You got a written contract? No, simply words. They simply say they're not succeeding. They simply bind themselves to Satan. It's done in the spirit and it's transacted in the spirit and they're bound. And they begin to succeed. Isn't that funny? Well, that's his realm. Angelina Jolie, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, I believe her parents, so she was from a charismatic background. She was a singer in church, but she wasn't really making any money. And she decided to sell her soul to Satan to succeed, and she succeeded. Lady Gaga, I'm told she has since repented and tried to, and hopefully achieved that. That I don't know. Aleister Crowley, we talked about him last week. Rihanna, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Eminem, these are all alleged. And this is the list just goes on and on. I'm giving you. So these are people that we've all heard. We've seen them at the Super Bowl. And you listen to them thinking, they're not really that good looking. They're not that good at singing. How did they get there? Let me tell you, it's the satanic influence. And Satan is rewarding them. And they're influencing the next generation for Satan. And many of these people go on stage and they'll tell them to sell their soul to Satan. And you can succeed too. And she says she was overtaken. She was possessed by a spirit of Python. It's interesting that Luke uses that word. It's hard. In the Greeks, it's almost the same thing. Pythonus, I think it is. It's Python. I got made fun of over in South Africa, up in the northern areas, up in the one of the villages up there is preaching. And they call it Python. And I just call it Python. If you go to Africa and preach, don't call it a Python. It's a Python. It's a python, I think they call it. Anyway, she was bound by this spirit of Python. Luke knew about demons. Luke knew what the demonology was, because you read the book of Luke. He talks about Jesus encountering the demon at the land of the Gerasenes. This is not uncommon. He knew the word. But this was a special kind of demon that was regionally operating over there that came from what's called the Oracle of Delphi. The Oracle of Delphi was a person who would sit there over these deep caverns, and there was a place there south of where Philippi was that this gas would come out of the ground. It was some type of noxious influence, but the person, the prophetess who would sit there would breathe in this, and she would begin to prophesy, and things were taking place that were actually accurate, because you understand the demons know a lot about you. Satan and his realm, they know a lot about your family history. These are not some entity out there that's waiting to be activated. They're active in the spiritual realm. We just can't see them. The spirit of Python would generally be manifest in wild cries, agitation, and also they called it a ventriloquist. It's called a voice from the bellies when this woman would speak, a voice from the bellies. I never saw the movie The Exorcist, but I've seen like clips of it. Begin speaking with the voice that's not theirs. You know what I'm talking about? These manifestations were taking place, and this woman clearly was manifesting. And Paul recognized what was going on here, these types of expression. And I want to say this, the spirit control, the demonic spirit control is evidenced in the natural. It's an outer expression of the inner possession. I like that. That's good. You want to take a note. That's a good one. This, you'll see it, and I'm talking not just about this woman, the spirit of Python. I'm talking about those people who have been bound over for whatever. And by the way, I want to be clear. Satan does not play fair. Do you know that? Satan does not play fair. He doesn't care about your rules or my rules or God's rules. In any way that he can get into you, whether it's a generational curse, whether it's a habit, whether it's something. I know a lot of people that have legitimately needed painkillers, Oxycontin and things like that, and they become addicted to them. I'm not here to cry them. This is, like, say, God, this isn't fair. Satan doesn't play fair, and he never will. But you begin to see an outer expression of an inner possession, and the question is, why? And I'll tell you, I'm going to give you one answer, because it mars God's image. We were created in God's image. I don't know what God looks like as he's spirit, but there is some connection there that we have this image of God on our lives, and God has created us. And I'll tell you, so I say this, and I want to be careful, because I'm not here, there's no condemnation here, but what you'll see, when people have gone down this road, they'll begin to change their looks. They begin to change their looks. They say, well, Pastor, I've known you 30 years. You're changing your looks too. You're getting old. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the multiple face piercings, and I'm talking about the multiple ear and the gauged ears, and the, you know, just marring their bodies. And again, I'm not. There's no condemnation by there. And frankly, I'm going to get to this point right now. As we see this woman that she's possessed, Paul doesn't turn to her and crack off some remark at the woman, does he? He speaks to the spirit. Because it's the spirit that's controlling them. And that's why sometimes, you know, and again, the church has not done a good job over the years separating the difference between not only the sin, but what's controlling the person and the person themselves. Right. And we need to. Yep. And we need to be open to any type of lifestyle that needs Jesus Christ. if people are willing to do that, where we need to draw the line and where we do draw the line is we will not endorse a lifestyle just to say that's the way I am. If it goes against the Word of God. I want to be frank with you. I know we have some lovely people I spoke to this week. This involves a number of families, and they once attended here. And we have a great relationship. They've gone to other churches for a different reason. Church is not far from here. And they said to me this week, and I was crushed, because they had attended there at least 10 years. And they said, we've just left our church now. We've gone woke. You know what that means. We begin accepting things that are not scriptural, period. And now, two different churches that came to my attention this week, lovely churches and lovely people, but now they're lost. These people are, I say, lost because they have no home. They have no church home because the leadership in that church has gone woke. And I mean by that, they've gone against the Word of God and they've accepted the culture instead. Because we want to be receptive. We do want to be receptive. And I want every person of every lifestyle to come into this house. But we're not going to change what we believe in. We want to simply help anybody like that. We don't endorse the thieves, right? We don't endorse the adulterers. We don't endorse all those things. And we're not going to start endorsing any other lifestyle that is not in accordance with the Word of God. Pretty simple. But don't miss this. And what we see again is this. And again, when you see people, you look at them, it's like, wow, you'd be in the checkout line, you know, and it's like, I'm not want to condemn you, but you see on the outside with all these piercings and marring their body and destroying their body, it's their inward spiritual bondage in almost every case. And they don't recognize that Satan is busy marring the image of God on their life. This python is interesting, the spirit of python. You've seen it on the National Geographic, the python is a fearful snake. But you know, the python doesn't come and poison and kill its prey. The python will come and it'll grab with its teeth and it'll hold its prey. But what it does, it kills its prey by taking the breath out of it. And when you lose your breath, you lose the life. And what happens when that python releases and it's done with its meal, there's nothing left but a bunch of bones. I can give you a beautiful spiritual parallel because I see that in the American church today. That what I see often is a church that looks like a church and it's structured like the structure is still there, but the breath of God is gone. The spirit is gone. There is no spirit. It's been squeezed out by legalism. It's been squeezed out by board members who have no time for the spirit of God and the ways of God. It's all about nickels and numbers. We've encountered a team I love this. We were in South Dakota. We were doing ministry in White Clay, one of the most destitute, it's actually like 100 yards off the Native American reservation because it was in Nebraska, and they were able to get alcohol there, and they would sell, White Clay had, a population of 12, and they would sell 7 million cans of beer a year. And you can see what they were feeding is the alcohol habits of those on the reservation because they were now influenced by a spirit. And these people were making a lot of money. Anyway, so we were there in ministry, as we do every year. And we're there, and Sherry and I were behind the scenes because we weren't on the worship team. Our worship team is up there and just doing an amazing job. The people, and it wasn't just natives that were there. There were church groups from all across the reservation that every Tuesday night they would be invited to this location in White Clay in a ministry. And there was hundreds of young people in middle age and Native Americans, hundreds. And our little team from Jersey Shore, from Life Tree Church, gets up and begins to worship. You give worship ministry, and the crowd is transformed, and the people begin to cry. And these people, I think, they've never lifted their hands to God in their lives. They begin to worship God. You can see there's tears coming down in their face. And this man from a church of Tennessee of 40,000 people says to us, he says, I wish I could get a worship team to be able to bring the presence of God like that. I'm sure it's not a condemnation. I'm sure the worship team in their church had everything right down to the dot and tittle. I'm sure it was, mechanically, I bet it was great. We're not there for mechanics. We're there to bring the presence of God. And frankly, that's for what it's worth, I'll just be a little more honest. That's one of the reasons why we're, by the next administration, why we're no longer invited, because we spent too much time worshiping into the presence of God. We're pounding enough nails. God have mercy. python spirit squeezes the life out of churches. It leaves behind nothing but religion. And Paul said in the last days, those people will come. They're going to tickle the ears of their people. They hold to a form of God, but they hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Avoid such people as these. This is what's taking place in the American church. The churches I talked about moments ago. We want to be invited. Of course, we want to be invited. You don't want to be offensive. You want to be inviting. Well, let's accept this lifestyle because the culture accepts it and the law accepts it. So let's get in with the law. Let's not.
Amen.
Let's not. And frankly, I don't care if this ministry and you as a congregation are the last man standing. We will not buckle to the culture. We will not.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This python spirit was working hard through this woman to try to stop the revival that was going to be taking place. This church, in fact, you know the book of Philippians is from. It was basically based right here in this passage. This is where it started. This small Philippian church, Lydia and her family, and we'll talk about more that were brought into the fold. This is where, and the enemy knows, and so the fight was on. So this woman comes up, the spirit of Python. 17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who claiming to you," the word there is actually a way. I know it says the way in a lot of translations. "They are proclaiming to you a way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. She kept crying out. Persistent attacks, persistent backlash is what awaits you, church, when you stand up for the word of God, and even more so in 2023. And we see it. The Christian thought process, the Christian beliefs, Christians themselves are now publicly being demeaned, even by the media. 30 years ago, it would be unheard of. Networks would go out of business if they would condemn Christianity. Today, they get favor for it because they're working for the wrong master. That's why. There's a number of thought processes here. One is that she was announcing that since they were promoting Christianity under the Roman government, you were allowed to be a Jew. They allowed the Jews, probably because Jews were so zealous. Other than that, you had to be a pagan. You had to worship their gods. No new religions, because religions stir things up. And so this is probably one of the things was happening. She was narking on them, telling out, and she's thinking the public officials will hear her report. That's one thought process, why Paul had to deal with her. The other thought is this. He dealt with her because he felt that when they were gone, this woman would basically be considered a disciple, like one of their followers. Did you ever notice that there's a lot of people, a lot of ministries, and what they'll do is they'll take something from the Word of God and they'll promote themselves as a ministry and as a church, and it looks really good. It's been well said that rat poison is 90% edible. It's the 10% that kills you. And it's the apostasy so often in a church that's wrapped in religion. You can come in, it looks like a church service. It sounds like a church service. The organist is playing, they're going to pass the offering plate. Everything is good. 35 minutes and I'm out of here. This is the greatest service ever. But they don't preach the gospel often. So I said, Paul commands the spirit to leave. If you've watched The Lord of the Rings, there's a scene in there where Gandalf comes to the king of Rohan. The king of Rohan, if you look at it, he's evidencing. It's like he's demon-possessed, right? And it's not really a Bible story, but you can see the parallels that the author was trying to promote. And you can see there's this man who's been taken over by evil. He's got all these contortions. He's really ugly, and he's got all this going on. Gandalf finally comes, and he stands up, and he gets up to him, and he takes his staff, and he wham, right in the head, and the guy goes flying in the spiritual realm. And the wicked spirit is knocked out of him. And finally, King of Rohan, just in a matter of minutes, just begins to be transformed because the spirit has been removed. And all of a sudden, he begins, and it's amazing how they do the makeup. But within a matter of 30 seconds, he looks like a normal person, his old self again. You can't do that in spiritual warfare. You can't knock people out like knock the spirit out of them. You can't be Gandalf and hit them with a stick. I put it this way. I don't want to get too theological because I'm going to move on here, but I want to just say it this way. In most cases, unbelief and rebellion can be reasoned with. In most cases. Now, I believe there are certain spirits of unbelief or rebellion. They're demonic. You can't deal with them by reasoning. But unbelief, that's why Paul, unbelief can be reasoned with. That's why Paul, every time he would go to a church that had Jews in it, what would he do? He would reason with them. He would tell them, this is the gospel. Because it wasn't the matter they were demonically controlled. It's the matter they didn't know any better. And he would convert many of them to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. And then I take you to the, and speaking of rebellion, rebellion can be reasoned with because we know the story, and I'll probably talk about it in this series somewhere. We call him the prodigal son, right? My name is the loving father because the father's the star of that because the father represents God. Jesus tells us something about the nature of his father. Isn't that a one? That's a wonderful story. He tells us the love of God by using the story of the prodigal son and loving father. Oh, we got a great God. But basically the son, it says, when he came to himself, when he reasoned enough to say, I've destroyed my life, I can't go any further, I bound myself to a pagan, I'm eating pig slop, my father's servants have it better than this, it says he came to himself and went home. We can reason with those things, but you see, Paul's not here to reason with this woman because he can't say, you know, you're really going to get rid of that spirit of Python. No, he recognized it for what it is, probably because she was growling from the belly like the ventriloquist, they would call her. And he turns around and he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her, speaks to the spirit. But that's how sensitive we need to be with people who we may or may not know, but we can soon find out if they're beginning to evidence themselves in ways that I portrayed in others. All of a sudden, you're not dealing with something you need to reason with them. You're dealing with the spirit. Mm-hmm. And in the name of Jesus, it needs to be rebuked and cast out. It says it came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or observe as Romans. These really weren't very religious people, by the way. They really weren't caring about the customs. They were caring about the business. Because it's all about the money. Loss of money. Their profit was gone because the spirit was gone. Isn't that something? The demonic spirit was cast out. And all of a sudden, when the darkness left, now their profits went down. Boy, what a great parallel. I put it this way, a pimp hates to lose his hookers because he loses money. A drug dealer hates to lose his addicts because he loses money. A tavern owner hates to use his best alcoholic patron because he loses money. It comes down to money. So now we see now a second battle and a second victory. Lydia's saved and her family, she's saved. Now this woman, a spirit of Python, has been rebuked and probably sent back to the pits of hell. And now things are on a roll and things are going good. So the enemy is going to step it up. A stronger backlash is taking place. And they take him into, don't miss that, they take him to the marketplace. In this culture, the justice system and the money were tied together. I thought it was interesting. I'm going to talk about Donald Trump for a minute. I'm not here to promote or not promote him. Just want to tell you that. I'm not. But I've seen what's taking place. I was actually able to write an article and the newspaper published it of what I believe is taking place. But regardless of that, wasn't it strikingly funny that he was taken to the place in the courthouse of Manhattan Courthouse? It is the northern boundary of the financial district in New York City, the most powerful financial system in the world, and there he was. There's at the courthouse, and there's a World Trade Center, and there's a New York Stock Exchange, within walking distance, a couple blocks. Funny, isn't it? It's all kind of tied together. This is the same thing that was taking place there. It's all about money. It's all about power. And what are you going to do? You're stopping our profits. We're going to take this guy to court because he's a threat to our future. He's a threat to our party. He's a threat to what they want to do. And so he's a threat to the power. And this is where it takes place in the marketplace. And this is where it took place in Manhattan. It's called City Hall Park. It's the northern boundary of the financial district in Manhattan. A spirit of darkness is using the legal system as a means of furthering its end. It was then, and it is now. If you can't win in the spiritual realm, you got to move to the political realm. Let's win it that way. It's throwing our community into confusion, he said. The deliverance of one girl is now, the community is in confusion. It's chaos. I don't think the community was very careful, they cared about it, but these guys that were making money, who had influence, were probably paying these judges. They had influence. It came down to malicious charges against Paul and Silas. Isn't it fascinating? You've seen it on the news. It's almost like the major news networks don't really care much about it. But I've spoken at school board meetings, and I'll continue to speak at school board meetings when it's appropriate. And you've seen parents, and I've seen the videos, they've been labeled as domestic terrorists. It's nothing new. It's not a surprise. You know that. It's been on the news. It just came to our attention a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago. By the FBI. They're labeled as domestic terrorists. I've read an article from the left, and they're now attacking people who are trying to get on their school boards. And they have a name for us conservatives. You know what we're called? It's the R word. You're radical. Yeah, you're radical because you don't endorse critical race theory. You're radical because you don't think transgender boys should be in the girls' locker room. You're radical because you have all these thoughts, and so you're radical. Yeah, you're radical to their ideas, but you're not radical to the history of the United States of America. You're not radical to these boys and girls that do not want this for the large majority, and we're going to begin to buckle down under 1% of the population and change the entire culture and put our children in danger and reprogram our children based on the few. Should never happen.
That's right.
Malicious charges taking place there, Paul and Silas, and they're setting up the whole apple cart. It didn't go well for them. Verse 22. And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them, and they proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. I wonder if Paul says, or Silas says, Paul, we were over at Troas on the sea, the Aegean Sea. You remember, it was really sandy and beautiful there. Yeah, I remember that. We're getting beaten with rods and stripped publicly. We're headed for prison. Paul, you sure you had that vision? Because this doesn't seem like God. This seems like I'm out of the will of God. Amen? This seems like this can't be God. Like, come on, Paul. Like, could you take another nap? And maybe you can have another vision. And maybe we can go back there to Troas, because it was really nice over there. I'd like to go there. It's pretty hostile over here, Paul. A lot of demonic stuff going on. One writer put it this way, and there's a writer of some decades ago, and it's kind of an older language, but I like it. It says this: less courageous and faithful men might have thought, were we really hearing God's voice? But though the winds meet us as soon as we leave the harbor, the salt spray dashing in our faces is no sign that we should not have left the shelter. A difficult beginning often means a prosperous course, and hardships are not tokens of having made a mistake. Isn't that good? That's so good. I know we in the leadership have been criticized for any number of things. And, you know, I'm not playing martyr. It's no martyr. We're just, you know, faithful. We're faithful. And sometimes it just doesn't go well, and not everybody agrees. And believe it or not, sometimes we think, yeah, we probably could have done that better. Right? We're mortals. We sing that song, Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. If I don't understand it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And here they are in the will of God. It started a mini church. A woman is a demon is a thrown out of a woman who was probably controlling that spirit of Python, was probably controlling the community. This woman with this belly voice coming out of her, it was probably terrifying to some people. And she's now set free. And now all of a sudden things are on a roll. And now Paul and Silas's reward for this is the getting beat, unduly tried in public, getting beat in public, stripped in public, and now they're thrown into the inner prison. In fact, the jailer, it says, with such urgency that the command was given to him, he put him down in what they call the hole in our prisons, in the deepest cell, and he locked their feet in stocks. Verse 25, I love this, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were whining and crying and complaining to God. Paul and Silas says, why did I do this? Paul and Silas says, what kind of God is this? That wouldn't be us. Right? We, Angie, I hope you'll be, we have a great relationship. You'll allow me to share this. We're on our way to South Dakota, 2014. Okay to share this? Team of passionate Christians on the way to South Dakota. We minister again. Man, we can't wait to see what God's going to do this year. Going to White Clay again. We're going to Allen. Allen's the poorest town in America. We're ministering to one of the most beautiful people groups ever. And the most beautiful group of people ever. It's hot. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. We're up on, I think it's 94 outside of Chicago. 8 lanes of traffic. The crazy Life Tree bus driver's in the left lane making some time. Going along. Somebody says, I smell something. Oh, somebody's got brake problems. Oh, boy, pity them. All of a sudden, the wheel of the bus starts doing this, and I'm looking out, and here the wheel's smoking. And I look up. I said, we've got to get an exit. And there's an exit about 200 yards away. 4 lanes of traffic. Hit the brakes, put turn signal on. Everybody's loving us. Love Life Tree. Oh, they're honking the horn. They must love us. Well, going across 4 lanes of traffic, down on the ramp. Get off the ramp. Pull in. Within one block, there's a Goodyear tire store, car tire store. Okay, get that, because Bunny will know this. Car tire. We pull in there. They feel it's the brake. They got to take the wheel off. So they jack it up, and they start to try to take the wheel off on the driver's side. Okay, and they're turning and they're twisting. They get their torches out and they're heating the bolts and they're doing all that they can. And they can't get there. We're standing now for an hour, 2 hours. Well, then Angie gets a call. While we're there, already delayed, not knowing what, her father has passed away. She's on a ministry trip, and her father has passed away. And we're like, we're praying like, God, what is next? I know you've called us here. Well, it turns out, they said, you're going to have to, you know, we obviously we're working with Angie, and we're trying to, and there, Angie and Dave were busy coordinating flights back. Turns out our destination was Davenport, Iowa. There's an airport there near the hotel if we ever got there with this bus. It's not running. And they were able to arrange flights the very next day, I think it was, to be able to come back. So they were able to work that out. And she dealt with the family things and the grief of losing her dad. We take this thing up to the Freightliner garage. And they said, those guys are car mechanics. They were turning the lugs the wrong way. Because on a drive, if you ever have a CDL or a driver's commercial vehicle, the lugs on the left on the driver's side are left-handed, so you don't spin your wheel off. Well, they didn't spin that wheel off at the tire garage. Trust me. Anyway, it's like, God, what's going on here? What is next? But we continued on. Angie and Dave were able to come back and meet the needs of their family, which is where they were needed. We were able to take the ministry team out and do effective ministry. And you know what? The enemy was trying to stop us at every turn. Even when I don't see it, God, you're working. It says Paul and Silas, where they were praying at the midnight hour, they were praying and they were singing. They were just worshiping God. And all the prisoners were listening. Isn't that great? They were all, and the word there doesn't just mean they could hear them. It means they were actively, Luke, apparently for whatever reason, Luke and Timothy didn't get thrown in the can. I don't know why, but they're out, right? Paul and Silas are the ones that got thrown in. But they must have got the word that all these people were listening to these crazy Christians who had been beaten. These guys in the prison probably thinking, we deserve to be in here. What about these guys? They didn't do anything wrong. They're beaten. They're thrown in the inner. And they put their, and they're in there, and they got their feet in stocks. And they're worshiping. And they're singing praises to God at the midnight hour when they should have been sleeping and complaining. I love the story. As Jensen Franklin gave it, said it, and I love to repeat it. You know, Satan made a couple mistakes there. Number one, he's put their feet in stocks, but he didn't put their hands, and they continue to. I'm sure, I have no doubt in my mind. Paul talks about raising holy hands to God. I'm sure he and Silas were in there, their hands raised, and also they should have been put in solitary confinements because the word says, "Where two or more are gathered in His name, there I am in the midst." And they were having a successful prayer meeting, and things in Philippi, things in Europe had now reached the tipping point. Jensen Franklin says, and I'm sure Paul was singing the tenor and Silas was singing alto, so God decided to bring in the bass, and he began the bass and shake the foundations of that prison, and all of a sudden the prison foundations were shaking. And there's no doubt in my mind, don't miss this, that where that oracle of Delphi got that poisonous, wherever that gas was that she got that spirit from, God was shaking the foundations all the way down to hell. And he began to shake the foundations and said, let me show you who's God. Let me show you who knows the future. Let me show you who is the hope of this nation. Let me show you what's going to take place in Philippi. It's going to affect the entire world until I come back. All the prisoners were listening. Lydia had been set free. The servant girl set free. Now everybody's chains fell off. Isn't that great? Everybody's chains fell off. All the doors came open. This is a supernatural event. God is shaking it, and that's why I want to encourage you, folks. I believe we are getting to the tipping point in this nation. And I believe he is going to shake this nation. Look for it. Isaiah 59, verse 19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a banner against Satan. God uses periods of powerful adversity to demonstrate his glory and shake the foundations Amen. Of darkness. We are in that period of darkness in this nation. I don't care which part of the culture, from the schools all the way up to the White House, that apparently is not going to commemorate, I'm hearing Mother's Day, but they'll commemorate the LGBTQ with the lights on the front of the White House of the United States of America, the house of our president. I don't know how else you could desecrate the reputation of this nation than by doing that. 30 years ago, it's unheard of. Unheard of. And you, my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this isn't a matter of change. This is a matter we talked about last week, about spiritual warfare, darkness, and there's always that root of sexuality, always, to worship Satan. There's always that worship of, and not proper sexuality. God uses these periods and he began to shake the prison and everybody's chains fell off. The guard comes in, calls for a light, sees the doors were open, sees the chains falling off. He thinks people have escaped. He's going to take his own life before the Roman hierarchy takes it, because to lose a prisoner, it was a death sentence to them. And Paul calls to the light. He says, don't worry about it. We're all here. We haven't lost anybody. The man is not only taken by the testimony of Paul, he must be taken by hearing him singing in there and bringing the shaking through the power of God, shook the very foundations of that prison. I'm sure he was terrified. He gets down on his face and says, what do I need to be saved? Mm-hmm. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Amen, church?
Amen.
As Sherry said there in prayer time, is that simple? Yes, it's that simple. Period. It's not a work. It's not a works religion. We don't have a works religion. We have a grace religion, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. God shook the foundation when Moses came to the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is going to come and he's going to wipe out these people from Israel one last time. He's now recanted on his agreement, and he come to the edge, and God says, "Watch me show my glory through the opening of the sea and the destruction of the enemy." And so it was that the seas parted north and south, and all of Israel went through on dry ground. And then Pharaoh tried to follow them and came, and when he came and halfway through the sea, God closed up the waters and he destroyed the army. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a banner and he will defeat the enemy. And that's what happened there on Elijah on Mount Carmel. When the prophets of Baal were there standing against God, God says, now I'm going to show up and let me show you something. Let me show you fire from heaven that's going to destroy that sacrifice. Let me show you how you're going to deal with these pagan prophets. And let me show you now that we've dealt with the wickedness, we're going to send rain upon the land, going to end this drought. God, my prayer is you will send a spiritual rain on this land and you will end the drought of wickedness. You will end the drought of agenda of transgender and of abortion and losing the sanctity of marriage, how you have created it. God, I'm praying for a spiritual rain in this land. Come on, church. Let's go. Praise God. David went before the giant, a battle he couldn't possibly win, but God decided to shake things up a little bit and show that giant, show the Philistine army, I'm going to show you something. Satan thought he had won the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross by the religious leaders and by the Roman soldiers. Satan thought he had won until all of a sudden, guess what? 3 days later, the breath of God turned into the return to Jesus Christ, and he stood up and walked out of that grave, and he began to transform the world that we stand for today. And thank you, God, he is now interceding at the right hand of God for us as the church, and as his replacement, he sent the Holy Spirit. That's why this word has meaning for us, because it's the Holy Spirit that stirs it up. God raised up the greatest standard of all time in that event, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All the doors were open. All the chains fell off. What must I do to be saved? I'm going to ask the worship team to come as I close with this word. Church, we are headed for an earthquake when God will shake the foundations of this nation, of this culture, of our planet. In the meantime, he's called us to be faithful because he is
faithful.
Pretty good. In the meantime, he's called us to be faithful because he is
faithful.
In fact, the story I want to close with is this. I've shared it before, but we were down in Tijuana on a Jesus Culture ministry trip. And if you know Kim Walker Smith, she and Chris Kalala were the founders, along with Banning Leibscher, of Jesus Culture. One of the most well-known Christian bands, worship bands in the world. To tell her testimony, she says as a teenager, she is now, her father had left them when she was 4. And then she had 2 other stepfathers, and they are both abusive to her. By the time she's a teenager, her mother marries a man named George. If you ever think of Jesus Culture and think their music's good, think of George. George was her stepfather. He loved these kids without measure. She said every morning in dark, he would get up and pray. And she would be in her bed. She could hear George praying. Thank you for my amazing daughters. I love them so much. And then every day he would kiss them at the end of his prayer time and tell them how much he loved them. And Kim would say, often I would respond, I was so angry about what happened in my life. I would say, I hate you. I don't love you. It didn't change how he acted. It didn't change his focus. Time would go on. She would grow. She would obviously seeing her father in the passion for worship. She would give her life to Christ to become one of the greatest worship leaders of our age, for sure. Many of the songs that we sing in this church are from the Jesus Culture ministry. She and Chris have sung, and some of them, many of them, she's written. But she said, at the end of his life, he got Parkinson's disease. And he dealt with it for many years. And every morning in his prayers, he not only prayed for his girls, he prayed for healing of his body. Every day, he'd turn the worship music on, raise his hands, pray. She said, near the end of his life, the last visit she ever had with her stepfather, George, she calls him her father, in fairness, this is my father. My father, when I was 4 years old, said, I think she said, I didn't want a girl. And basically, I didn't want a daughter, I wanted a son. Can you imagine it? Devastating. So she says, I got to go, and she said I would turn it because he couldn't work the radio anymore. He couldn't even speak. He could raise his hands just so far. She said, turn the radio on or turn the worship music on, which she would worship with him. And she said he would lift his hands up as high as he could lift them and just praise God right to his dying day. And he died. Not that day, but he died not long after that. She said, if a man like that loves God enough that he can worship under those circumstances, I have no excuse. So what's keeping us? What is it that keeps us? And again, I'm not saying it's not a charge. What keeps us from worshiping God who loves us so much? And I'll say this. I'll say this about George. I'm looking forward to meet him someday. Because there, right there, no, people won't see it often. That is the impetus for the Jesus Culture ministry. He was the impetus. Because if it wasn't for him, Kim Walker Smith would more than likely wouldn't even be a member of the kingdom. What a great testimony. We got to hear that down in Tijuana on a ministry trip. Just a wonderful, wonderful visit we had down there. But I say that to say this. Paul and Silas were beaten. They were bruised. They were battered. At the midnight hour, they were praising God and singing because he's faithful to us. Amen? That's how we're going to end this. This is actually, even though Brian Katie Turwalt sang this song, it's part of the Jesus Culture Ministry. It just turned out that's what Angie scheduled. It's called He is Faithful. It gets a little rocky. Are you okay with that? A little upbeat music? Yeah, it's going to get to that. But I want to, as you sing this, this is your testimony, our testimony. We're declaring that God is faithful because He is. Amen? And as I said, I'm going to, this altar area now, if you have something you want to deal with that I've struck maybe a memory in your mind, please come. And I want, please, if you in any way participated in those things, that you, even unknowingly, you just thought I was at the beach and I thought it'd be neat to get my fortune read. Please, I love you enough to say this. I'm pleading with you. Come and simply confess. If you want someone to pray with you, they will. Just say, God, remove that from my life. I rebuke that. Forgive me, Father, for participating in witchcraft, in sorcery, in the spirit of Python, in the spirit of darkness. God will break that bond like that. Just like He did to the slave girl in Jesus' name, He's going to do it for us today. Amen? Do not leave this place if that's your testimony. Okay, we're going to worship. We're going to bring the lights down. We're going to talk about this Jesus Christ who is faithful. Please stand. God, thank you, Father, for moving in this house. God, we're going to end this service by celebrating your wonderful faithfulness to us. How much you love us and you are so good. Thank you, Father. May we be like George, that even at times, in the most difficult times, we're going to raise our hands and worship you. And God, we know you're going to raise up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood and wipe out the scheme of the enemy in this culture, in this nation, and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing with us. He is faithful.
Right now, He is. Declaration of your church. And God, I'm the first to confess and admit at times I don't understand why I feel like I've been thrown into the inner prison and my feet have been placed in stocks. And I feel like at times I've been beaten. And God, I know I share that feeling with many. But God, I believe you're working such a work in this culture on behind the scenes that we could never imagine we were to see it, but we will see it. God, I have no question. This culture is reaching a tipping point, and you're ready to act, and you're ready to move, and you're ready to shake the foundations of our lives. You're ready to shake the foundations of the United States of America. You're ready to shake the foundations of our school districts and our understanding and our theology and our way of thinking and our false religion and religion that holds the form of godliness but denies the power thereof. That's what you're going to shake. So God, right now, Father, I thank you. You are faithful. And we testify we will be faithful until we see you face to face, simply because you are faithful to us. Despite the circumstance, despite the adversity, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated. Yes. We have a couple of very important things you won't want to miss before you are dismissed. Some cool things going on. This is, I don't know if that's cool, but it's going to be really cool because of the next slide. So prayer is canceled Wednesday, not because we've become apostate, but because the next slide, please. Because we are going to have, this is going to be, again, I tell you, please do not miss this. Thursday night, I don't know if you could do anything more important than be here to be in this service at the middle school, Jersey Shore. And Phil Capuccio will be bringing the message. It's going to be a great, this is the Jersey Shore Ministerium. Pastor Sherry and I are part of that. A number of wonderful people there. But he's going to be the guest speaker. He did an amazing job last year. It's going to be really good. So please come join us. When is that? What night? Thursday. That's this Thursday, right? Yeah. And where is it?
Middle school.
Good job. And what time? 7 p.m. Oh, you guys are so good. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. What's next? Hey, now look at this. You know, what we do as a family, we do a lot of things as a family. So we've been through some difficult times as a family. We've been through some fun times as a family. Even that trip to South Dakota, that was a family time. Right, Dave? Angie? That was a family time. Just a difficult, but you know, this is how we work as a family. And we are part of this family is Dave and Gianna Steele, of course. Michaela is at college now, and Angie is our worship leader. But we are just so excited because they've been overseas. In fact, you probably didn't see him last week unless you're watching TV. But he had a great time and tell us, what nation did you end up landing where you're competing in? In Belgium. That's right. I'm sorry. Belgium. So he had some interesting times in Belgium. We had a little prayer request go out for Dave. You know, there's pickpockets in Belgium. Did you know that? Thank the Lord they didn't take your passport, right? I mean, that would have been a nightmare. Yeah, so yeah, but he found a pickpocket, or pickpocket found him, and so they found themselves without money half a world away. But Dave and Angie and the work of God were able to work all those details out. They were able to compete. I know Gianna had a personal best. Was it a tie, your personal best? You got your personal best over there. It's a kettlebell competition. Now, I'll tell you what. If you ever messed with a kettlebell, I don't, because I could get hurt. But these guys do. And Dave is a star in this category. You want to tell us what happened with you? There you go. World champion. There you go. I don't get any better than that, right? So we have world champions. I grew up around Pittsburgh, and that was the city of champions back in the 70s. You had the Steelers, the Penguins, and the Pirates. Not what they used to be. So we have a row of champions here. We have a family of champions. We have a champion God, right? He is our champion. And God went with them, brought you back safely. So we have some awesome pictures. There's G on the pedestal, and there's Dave, number one. I love it. Yeah, with the American flag. Go, America. Yeah. Yep. There you go. Take that flag, North Korea. There we go. America is there. Number one. All right. You got, and that's a great picture of a daughter and dad. Just a wonderful competition. So glad. And I just want to, I'm going to prophesy a wonderful prediction. Gianna is on the track team. The girls' track team. We have a girls' track team. Right? Yeah. Yeah. She She is not only a star currently. You watch her. Because she's in what grade?
Ninth.
In ninth. But you know what I love about her?
She does it all for the glory of God. And she has a testimony, and she has a shirt that testifies in the name of Jesus Christ. Appreciate your testimony. Appreciate how God is blessing your life, and we're blessed to have you as part of the Life Tree family. Amen?
Amen.
All right, great pictures. Great. Glad to have you guys back. Is that it?
No, tell them what the sign means.
Oh, back up. Back up one. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. There's the sign. There's her numbers. She did 431 reps in 30 minutes with that thing. With that thing.
How many? 26 pounds.
431 reps. Yeah. Pretty amazing, and doing it all for the glory of God. And I like a little competition or nothing. It's like people like that. It's like, and I talk with Brad Eisenhower. He'll like go for a run or bike ride. How far you ride? Like 100 miles. Like, I haven't ridden my bike 100 miles in my life. I haven't lifted a kettlebell like that many times in my life. You guys are just there where you are. You guys are just amazing. We're blessed by you, and praise God. He brought you home safely, and except for your luggage, that's still in Europe somewhere. Well, it's bad because I heard he brought chocolate back for me from Europe, and I'm really concerned. So we're going to close in prayer for the... No, we're not. We'll close in prayer. We're not going to be selfish. I'm just kidding you. So, all right. We good? All right. Please stand. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, you are faithful. God, thank you for amazing sons and daughters of the Most High God. We worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, because that's what you told us to do. We love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Great job.